Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of June 30. I'm Joel Marshall in the hosting seat this week. John Barker having a very well-earned week off. He's busy at it putting together the famous, world-famous Winning Post calendar, which will be free in your Winning Post, last edition of July. Joining me this week, back from his long, long holiday, and from all reports, it was a brilliant holiday, Carl Diorio. Carl, how did Europe treat you?
Yeah, it was good to be back, Joel. But yeah, definitely a very good holiday. It could have lasted another few more weeks, that's for sure. And it's not quite the Curra at the Caulfield on Saturday, but an interesting nine race card. And obviously we've got the Irish Derby on Saturday, but went to 17 race meetings in 29 days. So someone
That's a good effort.
It is a good effort. And someone joked to me, did you see the Eiffel Tower? So we try to do a bit of everything, but certainly plenty of horse racing, and good to be back and looking forward to getting back into the routine.
Yeah, it puts into pales into insignificance. I think I did 5 meetings in 6 days, a trip to New South Wales in the younger years, I think, which included Fairfield Harness and the Gosford Gallops and Randwick a couple of days. And but yeah, 17 meetings, that's a great effort, but you're back, and the listeners don't care about your trip, they just want to hear about some winners. So we will get stuck straight into the podcast. Sunshine Coast will lead the way. I don't think you've cast your eye over that meeting, so I will get stuck into that card. Of course, it is the final day, you can say, of the Brisbane Winter Carnival. We've got 3 stakes races, 10 race card, massive fields, as you'd expect. Caloundra Cup, Sunshine Coast Guineas and the Glass House are the 3 features. We might as well kick off with those, and the first of them is the Sunshine Coast Guineas, Group 3, Race 7. Field of 16, I don't think there's too many winning hopes. The betting has really suggesting that the Bostonian and Seaway hold the key to the race, and their form certainly suggests, though, the Bostonian, trained in New Zealand, was scratched, I think, 3 or 4 times, a couple of wide gates, got a spider bite on the nose. Finally made his debut in Australia with a win at this track and then won at Doomben last week. He's on the quick backup. And, of course, you've got Seaway, who ran a very good second in the Queensland Guineas behind Sambro. However, I'm a big fan of the filly Italia Bella out of the former Queensland Guineas winner and Tats Tiara winner in Pear Tart. And she's a filly that's always shown stacks of talent. I think she's had a few issues, stop-start preps, but her first up run was solid. That was behind the Bostonian. She got a bit of ground to make up, but I think this has been her target race, this prep. And I'm going to go with her from, which is number 15, from 3 Seaway to the Bostonian. I'd be surprised if the winner came out of those, didn't come out of those, and 14, Touch of Mink, the Sydney filly in for 4th. Race 8 is the Caloundra Cup. And again, 2, possibly 3, depending on where Nurse Kitchen goes. She's also in Sydney. Again, we've got just a couple of horses that are going to really stifle betting, Tradesman and Mega Blast, and maybe Nurse Kitchen if she's here. But I'm with 2 Mega Blast, the Kiwi. Had a bit of a setback, missed the Brisbane Cup, was right to go for last week, but they scratched him on the dry track. They've saved him for the wet, and they've got wet. It's looking like being heavy, maybe soft, but it'll be wet. The wetter the better for him. He's a mudlark. His run 4 weeks back when 3rd behind Egg Tart and Tradesman was very good in the O'Shea. He's on top of, for me, number 2 from 1 Tradesman, 3rd run in as many weeks, but just a typical tough horse and should just hold his form. 4 Nurse Kitchen, blinkers on. She just hasn't gotten warm at her last couple until late. Blinkers on, step up in distance, wet track, all positives. And 9 My Diamantine ran well this race last year, and the run last week suggested she was on track to do similar. Race 9 is the Glass House Handicap. This is a bit of a pin job, this one. We've got Italia Bella in the emergencies. She'll probably get a run, but I'd say they'll probably head to the Guineas. If she's here, she's certainly in my numbers. However, 11 Sylphide I've thrown on top. She's a tricky mare to catch. She was 2nd to Nicanova in last year's Queensland Guineas. Nicanova is in this race first up and will have plenty of admirers. He is my 2nd pick. But Sylphide had a bit of odds. She wasn't bad last week, and step up in distance can suit. 4 I'm a Ripper. He's just that absolute ripper. He's won over $1 million. Of course, the winner on Magic Millions Day helped that. That was a strong win in the eyeliner. And 18 Jamaican Rain in my numbers as well. She was also in an easier race earlier in the day, but they've elected to go around here for the black type. Barrier 20, but 1400 at Sunshine Coast is a pretty decent run in for those wide barriers. My best for Sunshine Coast is Italia Bella, assuming she lines up in the Guineas, race 7, number 15. My value's in the last, race 10, number 13, Enterprise March. Won 2 from 2 at this track last prep. Looked smart. First up, got back, laid out, got rolled as an odds-on favourite. Last time out of Ipswich, drew wide, did his best work late. I think 1,200's definitely going to suit. Third up, he can improve in a pretty wide open race at good odds. Well, that takes care of the Sunshine Coast meeting. Carl, you did mention earlier that Caulfield plays host to Melbourne Racing on Saturday. We've got no black type, but what were your thoughts on the card and who are your good things?
Well, race 7, number 10, Smooth Landing, is a horse that I think can win on the weekend. She's the daughter of Snitzel, won her maiden on debut for Hayes and Dabney back at Packenham in April. Then ran second at Peaceful State and then Michiki. You might remember Peaceful State flashed home from the back, and Smooth Landing was probably, you know, not as good, but you know, ran a really good race in finishing second from the outside barrier. Next three runs she's missed at place, but hasn't been beaten all that far. Last time was bobbled away on the rail, didn't really see daylight, went fifth behind, remember the name. So I think she represents good value at the $13. And Special Diva is my roughie of the day, race 5, number 14. Special Diva didn't really come up last campaign. First up run, she was horrendously unlucky. Went to the line untested under Damien Oliver at Mooney Valley. I'm just looking for the fresh blood. I know everyone's picking Rolito. I think several pundits have made Rolito their best bet of the day. But I just found that Moon Lover and Special Diva, they're the only runners in this race that are coming out of races against male opposition in the last month. Moon Lover won a similar mares race two starts ago, then got beaten by Eusebio and RDD2, which I think is a good form reference. I just think Special Diva, three-time City winner, 30-1. Yeah, that's a good price, and I'm willing to take it.
All right. My best is up against you, race 7, number 7, Street Chic from the Paddy Payne Yard. First few runs this prep were excellent. Good second at Sandown. Had his chance to win sitting outside the leader, Reflectivity. I'm just not sure he runs a strong mile. He stayed at a mile for the Vobis Gold three-year-old sires there at Caulfield next time out. Loom to win, didn't. A couple of handy ones beat him home, Mahamadeus and Temple of Bell. And then a bit of a freshen into the Swan Hill race. He went out odds on, but they just pretty much crawled in front in the small field. He couldn't out-sprint them from last, but ran pretty well. No weight on his back, drops 7 kilos, and I think 1,400's ideal for him, so keen on him at $6. My value is around about the $6 or $7 mark, race 6, number 11, 60's Groove. Listeners will know I've been with him both starts in Australia, and we haven't got the cash. He's been heavily backed late before the race both times, so where there's smoke, there's fire. We're hoping third time lucky, getting away from Mooney Valley, I think that's key. Up 200 metres can only be a positive as well, and he didn't have much luck last start. So he's my next best. So I guess if you're looking for one at decent double-figure odds, that would be race 4, number 9, Stylish Missile. Complete forgive run first up. She drew wide, jumped okay, but then tried to go back and slot in and couldn't. Miss Leonidas smashed her rivals there, and Stylish Missile just never got into the race. But no way, inside draw on Saturday, assuming that's an okay place to be. Her form lines last prep were too good to sack her off one forgivable run. Moving across to Sydney on Saturday, we race at Rose Hill, and likely to be a wet track. I think it's in the heavy range, but as we know, Rose Hill can dry out a bit quicker than Randwick, so we might get into soft, but we'll just have to monitor that. And we do have a couple of listed races. The first of those is the Winter Cup, race 6 over 2,400 metres, and again we see the old warhorse Destiny's Kiss go around, and again he's got to give a stack of weight away to the rest of the field.
And as a result, I went with Nurse Kitchen, number 3, the winner of first race since the Group 2 Mooney Valley Classic, which was back in October 2016. Nurse Kitchen drops heavily in the weights after three unplaced efforts this campaign. She was narrowly beaten in the Vinery back in 2017. At Group 1 level. She's working her way into form. I'm expecting up to 2,400 metres with that feather weight on her back to improve. And I think she does represent a little bit more value. Ahead of Saeed, number 2. Harper's Choice, number 4. And Araja, number 5.
Araja for me. She's showing promise since arriving in Australia. I thought her first two runs were really good. Carrying big weights, and then the punter stepped in and made her a pretty warm favourite last time. And on face value, she was a bit disappointing. But 58.5, the heavy nine, staying at 2,000 metres, willing to forgive, especially the drop in weight. It's a black type race, so no doubt this will be a bit of a target. And hopefully we're on a little bit better than a heavy nine. I think she's a sharp improver. I've made her my best of the day. I'm happy with the $8. Two Sayed looks just about ready after a nice improved showing second up. Three Nurse Kitchen and one Destiny's Kiss next best. Race seven is the other feature. This is the Civic Stakes over 1350. And again, we've got the Ace Mudlark Jungle Edge going around with the 61. Kevin Forrester back aboard. He had 63.5 last week, so they used the claim of Georgina Cartwright, and the horse ran well. And he heads the top of the weights, of course, for race seven. Carl, what were your thoughts here?
And Mr. Seawolf, number six, he's yet to win in Australia, but it only seems a matter of time. He his last win came at the Curra in a strong race back in May 2017. Liked his most recent run at Rosehill over the 1400, got back, hit the line strongly after conceding ground from a wide barrier. Will get back and need luck again, but just 2.5 kilos off the minimum weight, and as you mentioned, Toppy there, Jungle Edge carrying 61, so just looking for a horse that might have snuck under the radar with the handicapper. And whilst Mr. Seawolf is carrying these weights just a couple of kilos off the minimum, you do sense he's going to pinch one of these races. Got him ahead of 13 Flow, who started this prep with a really nice winner's favourite over the 1400 at Rosehill. Sir Bacchus, he really does like Rosehill, and look for him to improve off that last start run. A New Universe draws a low barrier, will race probably just off the pace, and certainly can be competitive. So I think Chris Waller's got a strong hand here with three of the first four. I've gone six to beat 13, 11, and 14.
Yep, I agree. Six, Mr. Seawolf for me. As you said, conceded ground from the wide gate last time. Didn't have a totally uninterrupted run in the straight and hit the line well. I like the freshen up. Both the times he's gotten really close to winning have been his fresh runs. First up, just beaten in Australia, and then the Newcastle Newmarket by Lanciato. They've been his best efforts. It was a complete forgive run in the Doncaster, obviously, and the Hawkesbury Cup was a non-event for those out the back. And a bit of given the ground too, I think, might be a plus for him as well. So I'm keen on him at double figure odds. So there's a good push for the listeners. 13 Flow in for second. Nice win first up. Should only improve off of that. 10 Far Away Town. I liked her last week and she ran well. On the quick backup here, second up, staying down in the weights. I think she can certainly back up that performance last week and run well. And 7 Invincibles come back in really good order. Both runs excellent behind Sir Bacchus and Flow. My best is Araja, as mentioned, race 6, number 5. Not really happy with the odds of my value bet, Matt Maker, race 8, number 13. I think you like him as well.
Yeah, it's my value bet as well, but it's no value at 5-1.
Yeah, $6. Crazy. I think he's a really good bet each way. He's going to be put himself on speed. He looks ready off the second up off the 7-week freshen. It was a good run last start. So you can make a strong case for him, but yeah, I'll probably want a bit more than $6. So having said that, there's plenty of value in Mr. Seawolf.
Agree.
And
I'd happily change. I think we're both in the same school of thought.
Yeah, excellent. And I'm going to give out a Ruffy Maribel, race 5, number 6 at $26. She's been placed, perhaps not to advantage this time in. I thought she ran well in the Dark Jewel, completely out of depth. And then 1400 to 1900 at Canterbury. I thought she did a good job considering that. Then tackled a benchmark 90 behind I Am Serious. Her last 100 metres was good. Last start, she was okay against the boys in a similar race. She stays at this sort of benchmark 75 level, and this time against mares in a race with a bit of a tail to it. I think she gets her chance to show us what she's truly got, so she might be over the odds at 26-1. And Carl, what was your best? We got your value as Matt Maker.
Mahat in the last race, 9, number 17. Third emergency, I should say, and also entered elsewhere. But I think Mahat, down in the weights, if does run in this last race, will be pretty hard to beat. Found the line quite nicely over the 1100 metres at Rosehill, contests the same track and distance, and it's got that good Merchant Navy form that comes out of the spring, finishing 7th in the Cornwall Stud. So look, I don't think the handicap has got to Mahat yet, and does look well placed in that last event.
All right, racing in SA again at Morfordville Saturday. We won't say that, is it next week or the week after? They've got the Gawler. I think it's next week. So
a couple of Gawler meetings, I think, in July by
coming
memory
up. Yeah, which makes things a bit interesting. But to Morfordville on Saturday, and Carl, what have you come up with there?
Best Bet Top Prospect, a horse that you might know a little bit about.
I like him. I was going to back him. He was entered for Caulfield as well, but...
Well, they certainly got a strong hand across two stakes, Darren Weir, as always, it seems the case. The Top Prospect, nice first up run at Bendigo, made ground behind Kaching on a heavy track. Top Prospects by Swiss Ace out of the mare, Princess Carolina, who plied her trade in Victoria. It was a United syndication horse by memory, who had a little bit of ability, but had a brief career. It was a little bit injury plagued, I actually remember, because I knew one of the part owners. Top Prospect, though, looking to I think move through the grades here in Australia, and the prospect of a wet track certainly wouldn't hinder his prospects. In the last race, I've gone for It's Time for Magic. We constantly see Will Clarkin get these tried horses from interstate, and they do tend to perform well first up. I'm curious to see what price they put up for It's Time for Magic. As of yesterday, I didn't see any markets available for Morpheville. It does look a competitive race. There's plenty of chances. RDD2 is a horse I got plenty of time for. Mystified's been knocking on the door for quite some time. And there's a few other nice chances as well. Hard Empire was a great winner first up. So you might get a bit of a price for It's Time for Magic, but with the Clarkin factor.
Just hold the phone. I saw markets with the tab last night, and I'm just scrolling through my phone.
I want at least $4.50, at least.
Well, the tab are listening, because they're not quite listening, but they've given you $4.40. So you're spot on. Not quite value, but no. You've got sort of the price.
Sort of the price, yeah. I mean, that would be
second favourite behind RDD2 at $4.
Yeah, and RDD2, I led to believe, again, knowing some of the part owners in that horse, I believe that they were considering a Sandown midweek race on July 4. So don't be surprised if RDD2 is scratched and reserved for a Sandown midweeker next Wednesday. But just maybe hold off on the price there with It's Time for Magic. Hopefully there's no deductions.
And I can report that Top Prospect is $3.90, second favourite behind Silvera at $3. We have another glass at $4.60. Mm. Morpheville, Adelaide market's going up later. Since you've been away the last 4 weeks, no odds Wednesday night and. Yeah. Thursday late arvo we're getting
it. It's disappointing. I think there's two things behind it. One, maybe the price of point of consumption tax.
Well, that's what they stayed in for a while.
They stayed in for a while. And then also I think the corporates have adopted the mentality that first up doesn't really matter. Supposedly 60% of all betting occurs in the last 6 minutes. So it might just be a change in philosophy. And it's a bit disappointing that service. They accepted 11 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday. Have no betting markets available till late Thursday evening is a little bit disappointing.
And we've got the other three states, so you would think Adelaide could be the same. But anyway, now I have left my Belmont sheet out of the podcast studio, so I can't report what BJ Ryan is tipping. I haven't even looked at the fields myself, so I've dropped the ball there, clearly. But pick up your winning post and you'll find all of BJ's tips. He's a good tipster. He's been informed too, so... Grab your winning post, of course, which you might already have as we're recording this a little bit later this week, Friday morning. There was a few gremlins in the studio late Thursday arvo, but enough of my rambling. Moving across to New Zealand racing on Saturday. Heavy track for Hastings. And if you like the jumps, tune in, because we've got two maiden hurdles, the Hawke's Bay Hurdle, a maiden chase, and the Hawke's Bay Steeple. So five races for the jumps jockeys. We've also got an amateur riders race. So if you like jumps racing, tune in to Hastings. My best and value are on the flat. However, my best is Hand It to Jonesy, race 5, number 7. Building a really good record. He's in form and loved the drop in weight. Won with 58 kilos last start. Up to an open handicap, but young gun Wirimu Pin takes the ride. 4 kilo claim down to 50. Makes him irresistible, I think, in race 5. And race 8 is my value. Probably a topical tip. Oh, the Russians. Race 8, number 1, of course, with the World Cup going on. In that part of the world, this horse has had two runs to date. Both efforts have been sound. He improved into the placings last time out at big odds. Won't be those sort of odds this time. And he can run well. Still at each way odds, I would have thought. Ruakaka, the other meeting. Of course, we race there quite a bit this time of the year. The track doesn't get too wet, being down by the bay. So that's why you often get big fields. Horses trying to avoid the slop of the other places. But my best for Ruakaka is race 2, number 3, Copper Mine. Trialled well before the first start. Went out $1.50, which was crazy, but they were expecting him to win, obviously. He sat close to the speed and dropped out. That was on a firm 2, or Fast 2, whatever the rating is over there, but it was certainly a 2 rating, which they don't get many tracks like that in New Zealand, and the jockey did report that the horse jarred up. So here off a first, off a freshen, and off a trial win, he deserves another chance. My value is Kirk Interlock, race 8, number 5. Put in a bad one second up, but the few on-pace horses dropped out there, so willing to forgive. The first up run was good. Nigel Tiley's having a good run over there. He's a good trainer anyway, but his stable's in form, and just willing to forgive that run for Kirk Interlock, and he can improve third up from a spell, probably at decent odds as well. Well, that just about takes us out for this week's racing podcast. Don't forget, as already mentioned, get out, get your winning post. You may already have it by now. Plenty of winners, all the usual reading. Paul Richards done a couple of really good stories this week, catching up with a couple of former top ex-jockeys. Stan Aitken among those. I certainly remember Stan Aitken for causing one of the biggest upsets in racing, I believe. It would have been Spargo down the straight, knocking off Testarossa and Reduce Choice in an Ascot Vale. That was
the old Daniel.
Yes, yeah. It was 5 in the race, 5 or 6, and I don't think Reduce Choice actually ran third. I think he missed a place.
He did.
Fabiano's son, I think, might have run third. It wasn't a bad horse.
I think he ran fourth and Testarossa second, wasn't
he? Yeah, and of course, multiple Group 1 winners, and Spargo, don't know if he won another race. He was competitive in a couple of stakes races, but that was certainly his time in the sun. So catch up with Stan Aitken. Paul Richards has done his article there, and all your other regular reading. I guess before we go, we're going to get a $20 bet. I think Barks, he got it a couple of weeks ago. Last week, not sure. Mine got up 2 weeks ago, and then last week, I'm trying to remember, I think failed. Yeah, it did fail.
Probably did.
So, have you got yours? I'll rustle through my papers.
I'll go for one. I think we'll go with Smooth Landing at Caulfield. We'll go for a bit of value. Why not?
Race right, 7, number 11. Race 7, number 10. Number 10, if you're playing at home. Okay, well, I will leave that to you, and I will go Rose Hill Gardens, race 6, number 5, Araja. I think this is a nice race for her to break through in Australia. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we found plenty of winners. We will be back next week with the preview podcast.